To me, there is nothing more overrated than like wishing someone who has done you wrong well. Today's topic is indifference is the best revenge. Apathy is the best revenge. Wish them nothing. Obviously, success is the best revenge, but I'm all about trying to communicate ideas with new language, different interpretations, different points of view, because I think that sometimes our associations with success can be a little bit too superficial. And when we're going through it, breakup, dealing with betrayal, going through a transition period, trouble at work, in friendships, family, romance, whatever, you can be so emotionally charged that you don't even know which way is up or down. Focus on processing your emotions first. You can define success later, after you've reached a point of neutrality, which is apathy and indifference. And then you have a solid foundation to build the next chapter of your life differently to the one that you're exiting. You know what I mean? Also, I'm going to touch on how wishing someone well is overrated and normalize wishing people nothing. Hello, angels, baddies, and bitches. Welcome back to my channel. We're in the business of being hot and having fun, cute, chaotic, and critical thinking. You can follow me on Instagram, TikTok, at Amber Akilla, Spotify, and SoundCloud. I have a new playlist on Spotify for summer, Dead or Alive Summer 2025, the mood that I'm in recently. Subscribe to the podcast, Friend Crush with Amber Akilla, on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and subscriber-only episodes on Spotify and Patreon. If you've been following me on TikTok or listening to my podcast, I often talk about my definition of love. To me, love is an action and it is about the extension of your will, okay? It is an effortful process. It's considering another person's needs as equally important to your own. And it's not just in a romantic context, okay? You can be coming from a place of love in all contexts of your life, work, family, friendship, and romance. Romance has the added layer of lust and desire, which in and of itself is not love, okay? And not for the purposes of this. What I'm going to talk about can apply to any situation where you feel like you've gotten the shorter end of the stick and you need to recover from feeling like you're in a flop era and moving into a slay era. A healthy relationship requires reciprocation, a mutual effort in acknowledging and holding space for each other's best interests and recognizing that sometimes those things aren't compatible. It doesn't have to be 99%, 100% compatible relationship, but being okay with the fact that sometimes this person wants this, another person wants this, but you're communicating and the energy is flowing between the two of you. When things start to get toxic is when one person is usually pouring into something more than the other person. Maybe they're pouring into what has now become a void, okay, energetic void. There is no reciprocation, okay? There is no flow of energy. So that's why it starts to become toxic, you know? The way that a body of water becomes toxic when there's no movement, when it's stagnant, it starts to get a bit stinky, it starts to get a bit funky, okay? So you wanna make sure that you are pulling yourself out of the void first, recalibrating your footing on neutral ground, and then building on top of that, okay? Because you can't build on a void. It's just dark and empty. Every attempt that you make to build is undermined by the black hole. So that's why I think when you're in the thick of it, trying to like be successful out of revenge can just seem counterintuitive and insane. Get back to solid ground. So love is effort. If you are putting effort into something, and now the situation has changed, the relationship has changed, you're no longer wanting to come from a place of love anymore, you don't have to come from a place of hatred, okay? The opposite of love is not hate, it is indifference. It's no longer putting in the effort, withdrawing your effort, okay? So you need to understand from which place are you coming from? What were your hopes and dreams and assumptions about this situation or this relationship and how you wanted it to turn out? And how has the reality fallen short of that? And how can you develop an awareness of the gap between what you hoped for, what you invested in, that was not in reality, and accepting and acknowledging reality for what it is? Because it's really easy to get caught up on what could have been, wanting to see something through. Like, you've placed your hopes and dreams into this potential, into this fantasy. And if you were truly compatible and if you were really on the path to realizing this potential future together, you wouldn't be in this situation, okay? You wouldn't have to go through a breakup. You wouldn't have to quit your job. You wouldn't have to reconsider this friendship. You wouldn't have to go no contact, right? So look at reality for what it is. Understand what love is. Assess how you've approached this relationship, what you might be holding on to that hasn't been realized, and start withdrawing your effort if you haven't already. And the thing is, when we're going through this kind of like seismic shift and change, withdrawing your effort can feel really overwhelming because you might have been pouring so much energy into this situation, into this relationship, that you weren't even conscious of how much energy you are now confronted with that doesn't have anywhere to go. So in my Training for a Breakup podcast episode, my most listened to podcast episode, I talk about journaling, meditation, and alchemizing the energy that you have that used to be poured into this relationship or this situation and transmuting it into something else. You need to do something new. You need to do something different. So I talk about the importance of hobbies. Learning new things is one of the fastest ways to start to empower yourself because you're moving in a new direction and you are experiencing and exploring something different to the situation you're currently in, to the identity that you currently have. When you learn something new and when you develop a skill, when you commit to that, even if it's something like really random, recently I've been committed to learning how to blow my hair out. Let me know what you think. But I have learned a new skill and I'm a different bitch to who I was a week ago when I didn't know how to do that. And slowly over time, hopefully my skill will improve and so will my efficiency at blowing out my own hair. Learning new skills is a great way to empower yourself and a great way to alchemize energy that you're withdrawing from a situation that you're no longer compatible with and pouring it into something new. Because when you learn new things, your identity starts to change and you can separate who you are now from who you were when you were in your flop era, when you were in this breakup, when you were in a toxic relationship, in a toxic workplace, toxic friendship. Nature abhors a vacuum. Sometimes people try to white knuckle their way through a flop era by just like not dealing with how they're feeling or trying to ignore it, trying to repress it, trying to pretend it's not there. But the energy is still within you and it needs somewhere to go. If you aren't channeling it into something with intention, you are at risk of being manipulated or co-opted by another person. The pattern could repeat itself because you're still in denial about what's happening and how you're feeling and how much energy you were pouring into the situation. Another toxic person is going to come along and be like, oh, this person looks like ripe for exploitation. Stay woke. If you're not transmuting this energy, it could spiral into toxic coping mechanisms like stalking people on social media or living in a state of constant anxiety or talking to your friends about the same situation over and over again. Like, you start trying to offload the energy into parts of your life that are okay because you don't have anywhere for it to go. So you're trying to get someone to like hold onto it for you when in reality you need to recalibrate, let the dust settle, take stock of what's happening, practice gratitude, and then move with awareness and intention. Start small, okay? You don't have to do a crazy life overhaul. You just need to do something. Everything can look the same, but it can feel completely different. So that's why I think like visualizing where you feel that you are, darkness, or starting to see the light, or bathing underneath the sun, attaching a visual to how you're feeling can help when you don't really have the language to describe it with like adjectives. Oh, I feel sad. I recommend looking up the emotional wheel. I used to have this stuck in front of me when I was journaling and I'm thinking I need to print it out again. Putting words to how you feel, even if it's not in a way that objectively makes sense, as long as it makes sense to you and helps you to process how you're feeling, it's better than nothing. So the next thing is the importance of neutrality, because when you've been in a shitty situation, you don't need to jump from like a low place to a high frequency place. It's a journey. When the pendulum swings, it's got to swing back the other direction. It's like when you're exercising and you could just like pull weights like this or do push-ups like this, but you're not actually engaging the muscle. So no matter how many of these poor form exercises you do, you don't gain any muscle. You're not actually training yourself in the correct way. So you need to learn to work with the resistance. And when you lean into actually using your effort and controlling the movement, that's when you start to get stronger, okay? And that's how you move from a low vibrational place to a neutral place and then to a place of strength, okay? And then into a higher frequency vibration. That's kind of how I think about the importance of getting back to neutral. Rather than being in a chaotic state where your thoughts are swirling around in your brain and your emotions seem like too much to handle, one step at a time, okay? Imagine it's like unraveling a ball of tangled yarn or something. It's a daily practice. You can't untangle it all in one go. Things take time, and remembering to practice gratitude for small things is a really good way to bring yourself back into the present moment. You want to get to a neutral place so that you have a stable foundation so you can build or rebuild the next chapter of your life, your self-concept, because this is something that's always going to be in fluctuation. It's always going to be at risk of being challenged. That's kind of just life, you know. In the video where I talk about buying this top in Tokyo, I talk about like the transition period that I feel like I'm in, and you come out of one transition period and you feel like, oh, thank God I got through that. And then around the corner, another transition comes along, you know? So it's not about the elimination of these feelings and of these experiences. It's how you deal with them. You don't need to seek these experiences out, but you do need to make the most of it when you're confronted with it, because it is an opportunity for you to learn and grow so that when you're having a good time, you can just focus on having a good time and not overthinking and overanalyzing whether it's something that you deserve, whether it's something that you should enjoy or not. Live in the moment. Okay, so when you've reached a level of neutrality, there's always the possibility that you'll be confronted with the person or the situation that triggered you into this downward spiral, or that made you question your life and have an existential crisis, or that broke your heart. And I think that in the process of getting to neutral, you need to be ready, be prepared to confront the thing that triggered you. You don't need to seek it out, but you also want to be ready in case you bump into this person at a party or through a mutual friend, or you see them randomly on the street somewhere. Like, you never know. Being able to keep your cool in a high pressure situation or in a very triggering situation is a skill. It's not a skill that everyone is born with, but it is a skill that you can train. High value skills take time and effort to build. Mental exercises are really helpful. The first type of mental exercise is imagining yourself beating up the person that wronged you. It doesn't mean you actually have to go out and beat them up, but a little visual exercise never hurt anyone, because that way you're able to like transmute your anger and you create the feeling of justice being served, even when justice may not have been served, may never be served. You never know. Everyone's karma is their personality. I'll get to that later. If using your imagination is not enough, it's a really great time to sign up for boxing classes or any sort of high intensity workout that you usually don't do. Okay, it has to be something that you don't usually do. Imagine that whoever you're punching or kicking is the person that wronged you. Obviously, this doesn't mean that you have to go out and hit them. It is how you release anger and like process your emotions. Or not necessarily process, but just like exert force. It creates the illusion of you being able to actually hit the person without having to hit them. And some people might say this is problematic, but I don't know what you would prefer, for people to repress their emotions and then have it blow up at a later date in a situation where the person that triggered them isn't the person that wronged them, or for them to actually go out and hit people, you know? So use your imagination to your benefit. You're getting a workout in the process. I did this after my like really hectic breakups. Very therapeutic, you know. My exes should thank me that I chose to punch a bag and not their head. Another visual exercise is imagine bumping into them and how you're going to respond. Initially, you might have a reactive response. Notice what that looks like. You can write a script for the ideal response that you can have. You can practice in the mirror. Looking indifferent, looking unbothered. These are skills that you can build, okay? You might not naturally have these skills. It's a great skill to have, looking unbothered. I have natural resting bitch face, but even I like to make sure that I'm brushing up on my
bombastic side eye.
Precarious positions we don't want to seek out, but sometimes they are inevitable and it's better to be prepared than not. So make sure you set aside a little bit of time to practice your resting bitch face if you don't naturally have one. It's easy to get caught up in comparing yourself to the person that wronged you because you feel so terrible about how you are and how you feel that they've left you. You are seeking reassurance by finding out how they're doing, and hopefully they're doing worse than you, and you want to compare yourself to them, and maybe they look completely unbothered, and that annoys you because you're in so much pain and how is it so easy for them? Never assume how someone feels or what they're thinking. To get into the situation that you're in, there was some lack of awareness on what was happening, which is normal. Okay, you can't be aware of every single thing that's going on, and you can't predict the future. You were not even aware of like how you're doing. How can you be aware of how they're doing? Even if they tell you that they're doing well, you never really know. Even if you tell other people you're doing well, they'll never really know either. And I take peace and solace in that fact, you know. When I look back on different periods of my life where I felt so certain about what it meant and how I felt and whether it was like a good or a bad thing or the right or the wrong direction to go in, your interpretation of events changes at different stages of your life. You probably felt really good about this relationship and this situation going in, but things change and then now you're dealing with a floppy era. Don't focus your attention too much on the other person. Focus your attention on yourself and how you feel and how you can process this. And remember that everyone's karma is their personality. I don't believe in going out of your way to seek revenge. I think there is like a minority of circumstances where that does apply. But in general, learning to take an L and focusing on yourself and cultivating joy for yourself, rebuilding your sense of self, training these skills that you wouldn't necessarily train if everything was going well, that has had so much long-term value for me over looking for a way to destroy the person who I feel like destroyed me, or looking for a way to get an ego boost out of watching the person who I felt I suffered the hands of suffer at my hands. You know, you want to break the cycle. My next video is about how kindness is never weakness. And this doesn't mean that you excuse or justify what someone did to you, or that you have to continue to be kind to someone or allow access to someone that's hurt you. Discernment is incredibly important. Focus on your contribution to the world around you rather than feeling like you have to take something from others in order to feel better. You know, when you're in this negative space, you don't want to have to do what the person who harmed you did and suck the energy out of everyone to get to neutral or to attempt to get to neutral, which is not even sustainable long-term. You want to be able to alchemize your energy, move into neutrality, and then slay into positivity and growth. Don't let other people make your life worse, and don't let other people turn you into a worse version of yourself. You can be temporarily a little bit more skeptical or a little bit more guarded while you focus on healing and repairing. But I also think of this as like a physical injury. For example, I split my knee open the other week. The skin on my knee came off, and this part of my knee was exposed flesh. And at first, I had to make sure that I was keeping it covered so that it could heal properly, keeping it dry, making sure that I was treating it. And then as time went on, I could let it air out more. I wasn't as precious with it because the skin was growing back. And now there's just a tiny little part of it that needs to grow back. And I don't have to be as cautious as I was when it was healing. That's sort of how you can protect yourself when you're going through it. You can be a little bit more guarded than usual. You don't need to act like everything's okay and it's business as usual. Pick and choose where that might be necessary. Be compassionate, be kind to yourself, give yourself the treatment that you didn't get from this person or this situation. But yeah, the human body is amazing. You know, now my knee's almost healed, and so is the human mind. There are so many things that I felt like I wouldn't emotionally, mentally, spiritually survive, and somehow I pulled myself out of it using all of the tools and the principles that I discuss in my content. And I still recognize how lucky I've been, the privileges that I have, and there are so many people that have had it way, way worse than me that I have learned from in those moments, in those situations. And I'm very grateful that we're all part of this collective experience together. The next thing is wish them nothing. Normalize wishing people nothing. When you have been wronged and disappointed and you've had the energy sucked out of you by a situation or an experience, and people want you to be like, forgive and forget, wish them the best, as if that makes you a better person. To me, there is nothing more overrated than like wishing someone who has done you wrong well. You don't have to wish them well. You can just wish them nothing. I mean, eventually you probably get to a place where you're like, oh, we are all one and I feel good about myself. I hope other people get to feel this good too. But in the moment, you're allowed to be like, bro, I feel like shit and there's literally no reason why I should wish this person well. I don't even have it in me to wish me well right now. I'm so drained. Why am I wishing this other person well? I wish you nothing. And that's okay. You don't have to wish people ill, and you'll probably have thoughts like, wow, I hope nothing good ever happens to you ever again after what you've done to me. I hope you stub your toe every day for the rest of your life. And that's part of the process, you know, but you don't want to emotionally invest in that kind of feeling or those kinds of thoughts because you might start stubbing your toe every day, okay? Make sure that you're keeping yourself in check. And like any time and energy that you're spending wishing someone ill, you could be spending on wishing yourself better or doing better for yourself, doing better for those around you. So personally, I just think that's like a stop along the way to wishing them nothing. And eventually you'll just be like, you know what? I'm living my life. They're living theirs. Isn't that nice? Stay away from me. And if I see you, I'm going to pretend that I never met you. Wish them neutral. Wish them not even an acknowledgement. Okay. Wish them nothing. You're on different paths now. Even if you cross paths, practice your, hi, oh my God, good to see you. How are you? Yeah, I'm really good, thank you. Yeah, wow, okay, it was nice to see you.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
And the final thing is that everything is changing all the time. Even though things can look the same on the surface, everything is changing. You are 1 second older with each passing moment. Real transformation takes effort. Don't think about things as in like, I'm gonna feel better tomorrow. Sometimes you need to think, I feel bad today and I felt bad yesterday. So let me pick an activity or something that I'm gonna focus on for the next week and see how I feel next week, okay? Track how you're feeling, and you can do this through journaling practices, writing to yourself. Just remember that it takes time. Project yourself into the future. Imagine yourself not caring, feeling a completely different way to the way that you feel now. Sometimes things have to get worse before they get better. This is the way that life is. Internal work is really difficult to do, and it's a lifelong journey. Not everybody wants to do it. Not everybody knows that it's an option. Not everyone will do it. I think if you're watching this video and you've gotten this far, it means that it's somewhat important to you. So just focus on whether you're doing it for yourself or not, because whether other people do it or not is not in your control. When you start to do the work on yourself and you observe the progress that you're making, and it might take a few weeks, it might take a month, it might take a few years, you get to a point where you realize nobody else could have done it for you, okay? Nobody else could have gotten you to neutral. Nobody else could have gotten you to success is the best revenge. And you couldn't have done that for any other person, you know? There is this invisible line between our outside self and our inside self, and only you have access to the inside you, okay? Nobody else can climb in there for you. You cannot climb into that part of another person either. So focus on yourself and your own transformation. Stay hot and having fun, y'all. I hope this video was helpful. Let me know what you thought. Stay tuned for the next video. And follow me on all the things, Instagram, TikTok, Spotify, SoundCloud, blah, blah, blah. Subscribe to the podcast. Drink lots of water. Tell your friends and family that you love them. Normalize wishing people nothing. I love you lots. And I'll speak to you soon. Bye. Mwah.